Introduction. What would you do for free? Bob Hubbard. Pro Leadership Principle. Pro leadership is a journey, not a destination. It was the summer of 1985. Ronald Reagan was the president, and I was 24 years old and a straight commission salesperson, fresh out of college, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. My dad helped me to get a sales job, and I was having a measure of success. The job was meant to complete my education by teaching me some real-world lessons I could not have learned in college. But I had a nagging feeling, this isn't it. Straight commission sales wasn't what I was made for. That nagging feeling led me to Bob Hubbard, a world-renowned industrial psychologist and the father of my oldest and closest friend. I considered Bob my second father and his three sons my brothers. I will never forget the day Bob took me to lunch at the Minneapolis Club, that old line ivy-covered club in downtown Minneapolis where business was done. Bob knew me better than I knew myself. He had been shrinking me since I was in the first grade, so it didn't take long for him to get to the point. You don't like your job. Well, I said, that's not entirely true. No, that wasn't a question. That was a statement. You don't like your job because it's not right for you, he replied. Why don't you think it's right for me? I asked. He looked me straight in the eye and said bluntly, because you are not really money motivated, and although this job pays you well, the money is not enough to continue to motivate you. Checkmate. In one sentence, he had summed up what I had been wrestling with, but could not figure out. I didn't know what to say. It was the truth, and sitting there, I understood it for the first time. So I asked, how do I know what's right for me? What would you do for free? He asked. Now, go and figure out how to get paid to do it. I will never forget his advice, even though it took me 32 years to apply it. You see, the business I had founded and built my life upon had come to an unexpected end, and as a result, I needed to start over. But where? How? 33 years of business experience, lessons learned, and wisdom gained had changed me. I was no longer the young kid sitting across from the wise psychologist. But those years and circumstances had prepared me to accept his advice. I was ready now to answer the question, what would I do for free? It was a cold November day, 11 months after I had turned the lights out on the company I built. Its ending didn't leave me with enough money to retire, but it did provide me with some time to figure out the answer to Bob's question. I had been invited to speak to a business group at a luncheon meeting in a Midwestern college town, a five-hour drive from my home. My days of private flight were over, and commercial wasn't practical, so I drove. Since ending my business, I had been exploring various opportunities and trying to figure out what I would do for free. At the same time, I was loosely mentoring, one-on-one, a small handful of entrepreneurial CEOs. Since my speaking commitment required 10 hours of driving, I scheduled 4 coaching calls, 2 for the way out and 2 for the way back. I loved those calls and was energized by the interaction with these leaders. It was clear from the way they spoke to me that our time together was valuable, and all were eager to set up our next session. I arrived for my luncheon speech invigorated from coaching, hardly feeling the effects of my 275-mile drive. I was having fun. The speech was one I had given before. Without leadership, nothing happens. It was roughly 45 minutes, comprised of personal experiences, my testimony, and stories of my life, building a business, and applying the wisdom I had learned along the way. Meant to inspire and equip those who hear it, little did I know that it would become the root of this book. After my 45-minute talk and 30 minutes of Q&A, I was back in my car for another five-hour drive. I skipped the lunch. I'd rather have McDonald's. While I sat eating my number 3 value meal and drinking my Coke, I was thinking about the speech I had just given, the coaching calls that morning, and the 2 upcoming ones scheduled for the drive back. I had just spoken to a room full of people in a hotel ballroom. I was only acquainted with the few people who invited me, and I would probably never cross paths with the majority of my audience again, but I felt the weight of my words and the humility of knowing so many people had come out to hear someone who had failed in business. I was struck in the same way by the men I was mentoring. They were trusting me and in my advice to them. They were applying it and expecting positive results. This is when I first realized I had moved to the wisdom seat, that seat at the table where your experience, both good and bad, has worked itself out in your life. The lessons you have learned and the wisdom you have gained will, if you allow them, be a help to others who have not yet been where you have gone. As I drove, I considered all this and came to the conclusion I needed to go pro. Yet even though several others considered me a pro leader and speaker, I did not. But I wanted to be. So, as I drove, I contemplated the place where I found myself. That is, the wisdom seat. I loved it. Sharing my experience and the wisdom I had gained was helping people. Suddenly, it wasn't just about me and my P&L. It was about inspiring and equipping others to be the leaders they were meant to be. With 2 90-minute coaching calls scheduled during my 5-hour drive home, I had 2 hours to ponder the question, what would I do for free? The answer came to me, just what I am doing now, writing, coaching, speaking, inspiring, and equipping others to be all they were meant to be. So 33 years after Dr. Hubbard asked me the question, what would you do for free? I had the answer. Now, I only needed to answer his second challenge, figure out a way to get paid for it. Although I was coaching leaders, at the time I didn't realize I was doing it. Why? Because when I was a CEO, my coach was a Harvard PhD psychologist, and that wasn't me at all. In contrast, my version of a PhD was from experience, hammered out over a 33-year business career. I decided to do some market research. I spoke to the leaders I was already mentoring and asked, if you were going to hire a coach, would you want a PhD psychologist or someone who has been where you want to go and could guide you there? It was unanimous. Everyone chose experience over education. My revelation led to a 12-month period of research and development in the field of professional coaching. I sought out high-level leaders and their coaches who most graciously shared their insights and experience. They also gave me advice and answered the one question I asked them all. If you were starting again, is there anything you would do differently? This book is largely the result of their combined advice and of my own observations. In the world of leadership development, there are two basic types of people: those who use material created by others and those who create their own material. Maybe it's because I have a strong creative streak or simply that I have entrepreneurial DNA, but I found myself attracted to those who created their own content. Not surprisingly, they were also the ones who were working at, and in, the highest level. So where to start? Pro leadership always starts with the leader, and in this case, the leader was me. But before I could elevate, I needed to excavate. I had just been through a crushing personal business failure, and my confidence was not just shaken. It had been destroyed. I needed some therapy, and I got some. And as I did the homework my therapist assigned me, the healing began. As I wrote from my list of lessons under the working title, Without Leadership Nothing Happens, over time I began to realize that, although I had lost financially as a result of this failure, I had gained invaluable wisdom as a result of the hard lessons I had learned. That manuscript proved to be the best therapy, and although few will ever read it, it set me on this new path of pro leadership. During my writing, my thinking changed in a subtle way. Where I once thought like a Greek, I now found myself thinking like a Hebrew. Simply, the Greek way of looking at life is that failure is a disqualifier for leadership, while Hebrew thinking views failure as a necessary ingredient of success. The big lesson I learned is this: our past is not prologue, but preparation. In other words, if you fail, don't be afraid to start again. Your experience qualifies you to lead. Where I had once considered pro leadership to be a destination, I now see it as a journey where a leader establishes credibility, builds a following, and leads with impact. Countless books have been written on leadership. I have read many, and I'm sure you have too. After all, leaders are readers. This book is not meant to replace any of those. Rather, my hope is it will add to an already valuable library. In writing it, I had three goals. First, to offer a fresh perspective on the vital role of leaders. Second, to help readers change the way they think about leadership. Third, to inspire, to equip, and to encourage leaders to go pro. Since pro leadership is not a destination, you won't arrive, unpack, and settle in. Rather, you are embarking on a journey requiring you to saddle up and head out. With that in mind, ride on, my friends.